omnishambles. Omnibus is actually the Latin word. It means for everybody. Here's a weird one, mafist. I-S-T goes on the end, and it normally means someone who does something. But it is actually, from the point of view of the rules of English, it's very anomalous.
The ABC's word wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
Rolly Sussex, good evening.
Good evening.
So many questions flooding in for you tonight.
Well, I've got some words as well.
See if you can pick which word it is. It's in a description of the Australian athlete's uniform. This is what the Australian athletes will be wearing to the Paris Olympics in July. Yep. Here it is.
So there's a green blazer, chino shorts for the men, or the women can choose to wear a green and gold ombre pleated knee-length skirt.
So that was Jessica Van Vonderen, host of the 7 o'clock news bulletin. Ombre, a green and gold pleated skirt, an ombre.
Yes, it's O-M-B-R-E, acute. That's the accent going from low left, high right, okay?
Okay.
Ombre, it comes from the French word ombre, which means a shade. Or to ombre is to shade something. And so it's colours which gradually merge from one to the other. So that's what ombre means. It's sort of shaded from one to the other.
So the green shading into the gold. How
perfect.
Right.
Which is rather nice.
Hmm.
And if it's well done and they've got the tints of the colours right, it can look really, really fantastic.
Yeah, well, I had a quick squeeze at the uniforms and I think they look great.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes those uniforms can look a little like
Yes, they can. But
strange relics from
last year's tracksuits.
Yes.
Yeah. But how is your ombre, dear? You know, it sounds rather nice.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. It's another O word that caught your attention this week from a rather high-profile defamation trial.
Yeah. This was the defamation trial. The Justice Lee talked about it being an omni-shambles. Well, we know what... No, omnibus is actually the Latin word. It means for everybody, which is where we get bus from, of course. We just chopped off the first bit.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
I've heard of an omnibus bill in politics, which was like a giant sort of bunch
everything
of legislation.
Thrown in together, yeah. Omnibus is Latin for everything or by everything. And so what we did when they made buses which took people, we just chopped off the front bit and made into a bus. And that's where it comes from. Okay? So, but that omni is Latin for everything. Right? And a shambles is a shambles. It's actually the name of a street in York, in Yorkshire. It's only about 10 yards long or something. It's the place where the butchers used to throw the remains of the carcasses of the meat when they chopped all the bits off it.
Oof.
So the shambles used to be a really bloody, dreadful mess.
Yes.
It's next to something called the Whitmahwapmaget, which was where they used to beat the criminals, I'm afraid. Now, north of England has some very strange names.
Yeah.
But that was
What was that?
The Whitmahwapmaget.
Are they actual words, you're saying?
Yes. Well, whip and wop, you know, giving people hits with something or other.
Oh, dear.
Dreadful.
Yes.
However, omnishambles was the Oxford Dictionary Word of the Year in 2021. And it was so, I think, because of COVID, because, you know, England, like a lot of other places, the UK, was in a dreadful mess. And so omnishambles means everything messed up.
The world did feel a bit like that in 2021. Can you then extend it and describe something as omnishambolic?
I don't see why not. I've never heard it, but it's entirely within the rules. I mean, shambles gives you shambolic, so why not omnishambolic? We have a neologism, Levingston, Oniana.
Beg your pardon?
Yeah, there you go. Your own and very own.
I'm a new language person. Is that what you said then?
Well, a neologism is a new word. Neologism, okay, because neos is Greek word for new and logos is Greek word for word. So new word, neologism. And you are a neologist, someone who creates them.
Right.
So there you go.
I'm going to need a crown or at least an
I'm sure the ABC can do you one.
Skirt or
something
tiara like
that. At least.
Yeah. That's great. Okay, omnishambles, omnishambolic. These are just some of the words that have caught Rolly Sussex's attention this week.
I'm not done yet.
Oh, go.
Here's a weird one, mafist, M-A-F-I-S-T, mafist.
Never heard of it.
No, it means someone who doesn't eat mammal meat, M-A for mammal and F for flesh. So mammal flesh not eaten is a mafist. Now, it's a very weird word because an IST goes on the end, and it normally means someone who does something.
Yeah.
So a pianist is someone who drives a piano, and a machinist is someone who drives a machine. But M-A-F-I-S-T, it is on the web a little bit. It hasn't made it into the dictionaries. If you don't like Mafist, you could call it a pesce polo, poloitarian, I suppose. Pesce is Latin for, sorry, Italian for fish. Polo is Italian for chook. All right, so this is white meat which you will eat. Pesce poloitarian.
But if you're a Mafist, you don't eat mammal meat, so you don't eat the meat of anything that produces milk.
Correct. And I think, I'm not quite sure whether pork is regarded as a white meat or not, whether it's listed.
Yeah, I think pork is a white meat, yeah.
Okay, right. Anyway, Mafist, and this is another one of these varieties of people who have certain sorts of restrictions, self-imposed restrictions on their diet. So that's a new one, but it is actually, from the point of view of the rules of English, it's very anomalous. It's just a weirdo.
It sounds like something that applies to a rather popular television show called Mafs. Have you heard of Mafs, Rolly?
I have.
Married at First Sight.
I have.
Maybe the fans of Mafs could be called Mafists.
Mafsists.
Oh, yeah.
Or actually, Mafsophiles.
Right.
Because a file, remember, a phobe is someone who doesn't like it, and a file is someone who likes it.
Right.
So Mafsophile or Mafsophobe, depending on whether you like it or not. Okay, so that is another. We're into new words this evening. So we're not done yet.
We are. Okay.
Well, here's an old one, licorice or licorice.
Oh, someone's asking about that tonight.
Yeah, the producer told me that this is coming up.
Yeah, yeah. Hang on, let me just, because it was, where is it? There's so many messages for you tonight. I've got to roll. Robin on the Sunshine Coast.
Yes.
Oh, hang on. Robin is on the phone.
Even better.
Hello, Robin.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, well, this is brilliant timing altogether. Go ahead, speak directly to Rolly Sussex.
Rolly, it's an absolute delight to speak directly with you. And this question has been on my mind for so long, and I finally have made the step to give you a call. So my mother had absolutely impeccable knowledge of grammar and diction, and she used to raise us accordingly. You know, she'd really be onto us the minute we pronounced anything the wrong way, which wasn't actually all that nice always. And but she brought us up to say the word licorice when the rest of the world says licorice, and we were always told to say licorice, pronouncing the last C as an S.
Yes.
And to this day, I cannot bring myself to say licorice, even though everybody else around me does.
Yes.
And I just wonder, is there a basis to her insistence that that's the way we say it? And if so, why does the rest of the world say licorice? Can you please illuminate?
All right. I have a feeling that I'm about to tread on a landmine, but never mind. it comes from Greek. Glucose is the Greek word for sweet. Remember, glucose and so on is sweet stuff. Yeah. So glucose and risa. So it means sweet root. And it comes from a plant. And, of course, when you process it, and it's a sweet root. And in Old French, which is where we got it from, it was licorice. E-double-S-E, so definitely an S sound. However, over time, it's a bit like asphalt and ashfelt. You know, people sometimes pronounce it weirdly. And I'm afraid licorice is the one which is recommended by the dictionaries. And licorice is second choice, even though historically it's preferred. So you can have a bet both ways. I tend to say licorice because I've been hearing it around me, and I almost never say it anyhow because I used to eat it, but I don't.
Yeah, don't like the taste of it. But, Robin, you could still say it your mum's way if you like.
You could, yes.
Can I throw in a point of order, please? Hearing, Robin, you're saying the word with two syllables, and, Rolly, when you're saying the word, it sounds like there's three syllables.
Okay, the dictionary allows that as well. You can either have licorice or licorice, right, or licorice or licorice. Right. And remember, it's a bit like medicine, where you lose the syllable next to the stressed one. So the strong syllable is the first one, med. The next one is weak and kind of gets squashed to the point where it just disappears, medicine. And so likewise, licorice, you can say it with two or three. If you say licorice with three syllables and an S, I think people would think you're being a little bit careful.
Well, we've now got four ways to say. Go, yes.
Is it fair to say that Mum was probably right in a historical sense, but
I think that's true, yes, that historically and certainly when she was at school, they were much more directive about pronouncing things the way they were spelt. And I'm sure that asphalt would have been asphalt in those days as well.
Yeah. Mm. So in terms of common usage, it's
I'm afraid common usage sometimes just tramples all over everything and wins.
Okay.
Robin, it's a great question, and I'll also add that you have lovely diction. You have a beautiful speaking voice, so kudos to your mum.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin. Robin on the Sunshine Coast.
And I still haven't finished.
You still haven't finished, but now we've got licorice. Got it. Okay,
right.
What else?
Okay, Y-O-G-U-R-T or Y-O-G-H-U-R-T, a Turkish word, and we know what it is.
It's delicious.
But how do you pronounce it? Now, in Turkish, Turkish is really, really interesting. For 1,000 years, because it's a Muslim country, Turkish was written in Arabic script, which means right to left, right, the way Arabic is, like also Hebrew for that matter, with a few Turkish special letters, Turkish sounds that didn't exist in Arabic. And then in 1928, Mustafa Kemal Atatürk, who was a very famous Turkish leader, said, we've finished with the Arabic script, we're going to go over to Roman script. And he switched the entire language, everything switched. I think it was November 1928, and it's one of the interesting cases where languages have actually abandoned one form of writing and taken up another.
Incredible.
Yeah, and he did a rather interestingly good job with the Turkish one. Has got 29 letters, some with a few modifications that we don't have in English. And their idea was taken up by Uzbek, Turkmen, and Kazakh, all of which are Turkic languages. In other words, they belong to that family of languages. They used to be written in Russian under the Soviet Union, but when the wall came down in 1989 and the Soviet Union fell to bits and these countries became independent, one of the things they did was to take a different alphabet to underline the fact that they were different now. Now, Y-O-G-U-R-T. In Turkish, the G has got a little half circle on top of it, a bit like Erdoğan, who was the current leader. And this G with a little half circle, it isn't pronounced as a G at all. So he's not Erdoğan.
Mm-hmm.
What it does, the G does, it actually lengthens, awfully, it lengthens the preceding vowel. So you got yo for, well, in English, what are we going to call it?
And yogurt?
Well, yogurt or yogurt, either is allowed. And the dictionaries will not bother themselves about which is which.
Hara.
Yeah, this is an either or both, you know.
Yogurt, yeah. Not yogurt?
Well, actually, yogurt is the one that the dictionaries prefer.
What? My life is a lie.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. It's all a matter of pronunciation. But what is interesting in Turkish, you don't pronounce it yogurt at all. You say yurt. Now, it's an O, and you make the O long because of that funny little G thing. So, O becomes O, yo. And then you pronounce R and T, but instead of saying yogurt t, with a T at the end, you don't release the T, you hang on to it. So, yurt. Pretty good. You'd make a good Turk. And
I almost prefer it to yogurt.
Yeah, well, if you go into the supermarket and ask for yurt. They will probably look down their noses and say, you know, try the deli down the road.
How do you say it, Rolly?
I've always said yogurt. Until I discovered that in Turkish you don't pronounce the G. But of course, if you do that in Australia, people won't understand you.
Yeah.
So our approved pronunciation is yogurt. And that's what people, but yogurt I would allow, and of course it is actually the vowel is much closer to Turkish.
So how did we end up with yogurt? Is that some kind of Australian?
Well, Y-O. No, yo, yo.
Yo.
Yo-yo. No, I've got a yo-yo. You know, one of those things that goes up and down on a string. And so I imagine people saw this word looks a little foreign, not quite sure what it is, but we already have Y-O's and no yo-yo, so we'll say yogurt.
What do you reckon the split is of people in Australia who say yogurt as opposed to yogurt?
I have no idea.
I genuinely thought I would say British people said yogurt.
They do.
And that Australians say yogurt.
That may well be, but the dictionary that I've got say yogurt is the preferred one.
You gotta be kidding me.
But there is so much of both. This is one of these things like asphalt and asphalt. No, there's so much of both. The dictionaries, I think, will shortly, if they haven't already, allowed both. And certainly I hear yogurt a lot, right? And just because I grew up saying yogurt, even though if I'd been aware of Turkish, I probably would have said yogurt.
Yogurt.
But you're doing very well, because normally we when we've got a T at the end of the word, like but, we actually release it and there's a little puff of air, but,
yes.
All right? But in Turkish, this one doesn't, so yogurt. Well done.
Thank you.
End of phonetics.
But it's fascinating. Language Professor Rolly Sussex, I honestly thought you said yogurt, but you're a yogurt. Now I've got to figure things out.
It's not as if, you know, you're right and wrong. This is kind of a both ends.
But Nikki says in French it is yaourt.
Yaourt, yes.
Yaourt. Oh, bonjour, Nikki. Lovely to have you along tonight.
It's A-O-U in French, so that they've got to pronounce all their vowels, you see.
Nikki.
Yeah.
I think her full name is Veronique. She says, hello to Professor Rolly Sussex. My grandfather was one of the linguists who helped change the Turkish language.
Oh, wow.
He rewrote the grammar. It's a lovely story. Thank you.
Well, Ataturk put together, and he was a great leader, and he put together a committee to look at the problems of rendering Turkish in a Roman alphabet, and they went through all sorts of possibilities. And the one that they've got out, it actually works quite well. And if you happen to go to Turkey, if you look at, say, the name of a town or something, and you know how to pronounce the Turkish letters normally, almost certainly you'll have the correct pronunciation. It's really nice like that. Unlike England, if you go to England and, you know, Cirencester is Sicister, and it's not Worcestershire, but Worcestershire and so on. Mm. The match between spelling and place names in England is dreadful.
It's an omni-shambles.
It's an omni-shambles. It's just as bad in Scotland and Ireland, by the way, and Wales.
All right. Veronique, so lovely to have you tuned in tonight as well. Do you want to go more on your list or two callers, Rolly?
Callers.
Isabel is in Bethania. Hello, Isabel.
Hello. Now, Rolly, could you help me with this one, which is correct usage of the or the before vowels?
Okay.
Like at school I was taught the apple, the egg, the orange.
Yes.
Now people even doing the weather forecast and that, they're doing it like it comes out the apple and the orange. It just doesn't sound. So have they changed the usage now? This is like 80 years ago.
Well observed. Yep.
Also, what a strange weather forecast about all the apples and oranges. Okay, so when is it the?
The rule is exactly as you stated it, that the is before a vowel, so the apple, the egg or whatever, and the is before a consonant, the boat, the book, the goat, and so on. But if you say it reasonably slowly, it sounds difficult making an that goes on. Whereas E is a sound which is pronounced long in English. So the apple, so they say the book, you know. And that's the sort of background where it's happened. Now, people are getting now quite confused about what the right way is. And they sometimes, as you said, say they say the apple, the apple, the apple. And that little catch in the middle, it's called a glottal stop. Okay. And it's another one of the sounds which in English we pronounce but we don't write. Okay, because normally if you get a word in English which begins with a vowel, apple, apple, right, instead of starting with a rather soft apple, like a sort of crescendo, it starts very sharply, apple, and what we do is we put a glottal stop before it when we pronounce a word that starts with a vowel. And the glottal stop is made by closing off your voice box, which is in your throat. Don't squeeze too hard if you're trying to test it. You might suffocate.
Yes.
But apple, orange, ice. Can you hear the each
yes,
time?
Yes, I can.
The glottal stop. And people are starting to do that with the as well, so that there's a bit of a mess going on. If you're listening to the BBC or someone like Alistair Cook, who had absolutely magic English, he would never have crossed over. But the other ones are getting quite mixed up.
All right. So, but Isabel's theory on the before a vowel is generally correct. The
is correct.
Is correct. The before a consonant.
That is what you would expect in all of the prescriptive descriptions.
Lovely. Great question, Isabel. Thank you very much. Bruce.
Go for it, Bruce. What have you got for us?
Lead and lead. Why do we have the same spelling for two different words.
Sorry, it's the history of English that has done this. It's the way it grew up, I'm afraid. So that LEAD is either lead, which is a metal, or lead, which is a verb. And you've got to remember that the past tense is just LED. Okay. And that's just part of the way in which English spelling has, I'm afraid, developed, and we just got to remember it that way.
There you go, Bruce.
Very confusing, though. And when we get to lie and lay and so on, it even gets worse, but we'll leave that for another day.
Bruce in Gucci tonight. By the way, Rolly Sussex, currently 63% of people saying yo for yogurt.
I thought so.
So that's leading over yog for yogurt. Oh, my little nephew Daniel has texted in saying, hello, Rebecca and Rolly. I say yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Yogurt, he says, as you may know. Of course I do, Daniel. Lovely to have you on.
I would guess.
Tonight.
Well done, Daniel. That's interesting. I would guess you know that the younger generation is almost entirely yo.
Yo-yo.
I can almost hear my grandma saying yogurt.
Yogurt.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think probably, well, she lived to 105, so she had a long memory.
Janet Pomona says, hello, yo. First introduced to this wonderful food in 1973, and I made it overnight in a jar next to the pilot light on the gas stove.
Yes.
Ah, the olden days. Have a wonderful evening. I'm enjoying the discussion.
Yeah.
Maria from Ipswich, Rolly, says, I'm always amused by the spelling my younger siblings use when they text me. I think she means what, W-O-T, for what, W-H-A-T, or fully sick for something that is really great. It's amazing how language changes over the years.
It is.
So can we just focus on the first bit?
Yes.
What, W-O-T, it's sort of text language now, isn't it?
Well, W-O-T, but I see on the screen W-O-O-T, which is woot, and woot is an exclamation used by younger people.
Woot, woot.
Yeah, or I think surprise, woot, means something that's really good or whatever, woot.
Or sometimes it can actually be a sarcastic woot.
I think it can as well. So I suspect, I mean, look, kids and messages, they often play around with spelling a lot. And so this may just be pulling mum's leg, which would not be unheard of. But it's certainly what is W-H-A-T. But, of course, we don't say wh anymore. The W-H is just like a W, wh. In Scotland, there are still dialects of English where which is pronounced differently. Which do you see this afternoon riding on a broomstick? It's a wh.
Wh.
Wh, yes. And you find that sound actually in Maori in New Zealand and whangarei. It's a wh.
Yeah, even though it looks like an F, but it's pronounced F.
Well, it's written W-H.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And that is actually, it's called a bilabial fricative. F. You put your lips together, sort of, make a little slit and blow, and that's whangarei. And it's a sound we no longer have in English.
Bilabial.
Fricative.
Fricative.
Bilabial, two lips. Fricative is a sound which makes a hissy noise.
Not to be confused with your glottal stop.
Your glottal stop. Yeah.
Rolly, I attended a workplace health and safety training session last week when the young presenter referred to those who do the do.
Oh.
I.e. the responsible person on the team, the warden. The fire warden has the paperwork to do, I guess. Mm. Maybe I'm a dinosaur, as I'd never heard this description before. Ever heard of do
no,
the do?
You've got to do what needs to be done. I'm going to do it. And all of those are fine, but do the do is new to me. I'll have to do some homework to see if it pops up elsewhere. Thank
All right.
you.
We'll check on that. Linda in Dolby says, I always hear people say next year instead of next year. Is it something that a lot of people, even news presenters, say due to habit, or is it really a word, or do I have it wrong? And how? Next year.
You just said due to habit, because you were in a hurry, rather than due. And after T and D, if you've got a y sound, it very often makes a ch or a j sound.
Right.
Right. So that tune, right? Remember, the Americans leave out the y entirely. They just say tune, all right? But most Australians at even moderate speed would say, oh, that's a lovely tune, ch, rather than tune.
Mm.
It sounds a little fussy. And so next year is the same combination of sounds. It's a t and a y. And when you put them together, they make a ch sound if you make them as if they were one word, all right? And that's called palatalization, if you want another word from phonetics, because you're moving the sound towards your palate, which is the top bit in the middle of your mouth. So next year. If you say it slowly with a break, next year, no problem. If you gradually lessen the gap next year, next year, next year, next year. You can hear the chirp creeping in.
Mm.
It's a natural process. People will say this, and it's not so much wrong. It's just a feature of what happens to speech when you go fast.
Yes, got it. Great question.
Allegro speech, so-called.
By the way, I've also seen the word tune spelt C-H-O-O-N.
So have I.
For a little bit of fun.
On the other hand, the film Dune, American Dune, is never D-O-O-N.
Dune. Neil is in Manly and he has a question for you, Rolly. Good evening, Neil.
In recent times, the word wrath, I've heard pronounced wrath.
Ah.
I'm just wondering how that's crept in.
Yes. W-R-A-T-H, meaning anger. Wrath is American. And for some reason, they've decided to pronounce things differently, just as in American English, solder is sodder for some reason. They just leave out the L. So wrath is American, and we hear so much American around us, you know, particularly on the whodunits and so on, that people are starting to imitate it.
So the grapes of...
Wrath.
Wrath.
And I'm pretty sure that it was still wrath when Steinbeck wrote that. And the only one that I've seen in dictionaries of our English, in other words, Australian and British and so on, is wrath.
There you go.
There you go, Neil. Well heard, though, because when these things happen, sometimes they just slip by and you have got a vague feeling of, there's something wrong with that. What was it?
Yes.
Well
great,
observed.
Great question, Neil. Thank you. Kevin has texted to say on the yogurt pronunciation, I used to be a yo, but now I'm a yog.
All right. And he's being regressive then. Ended up like me.
Final tally based on a mountain of text tonight. 62%, 62.5% of people say yo and the rest say yog. A final word from you, Rolly Sussex.
This is Tallulah Bankhead, who is an American actress and rather good with words. Cars are like men. It's much better to have a couple on standby just in case one breaks down.
Thank you, Tallulah. Rolly Sussex, it has been a phonetics lesson of the ages. Thank
phonetics
you so much.
Is actually not difficult, you know. It's really fun when you work out how your tongue and your lips and so on all collaborate.
You've been listening to A Word in Your Ear with Professor Rolly Sussex, a podcast from ABC Radio Brisbane. Every week on the ABC Listen app.